Louise, you not only represent former and current Guantanamo detainees, but you also have a long involvement in political activism. You worked, I believe, at the GLC, worked for the police committee then, and as you're very well aware, this government took office determined to pass a Human Rights Act, which it did. I wondered if you could comment both on from both the legal and political perspective of your take on this here.
Well, I think Guantanamo Bay is a huge constitutional scandal. Alvaro Gil Robles, who's the Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights, described it to me recently as une honte, which is, I think, is a French word for which there isn't actually a kind of adequate English translation. But that's what it is. It's a shame. It's a scandal. But it isn't isolated, as has already been said. And I think it's replicated in small ways. It's being replicated all over the world, and not least in this country. And I can't remember a time in my 25 years as a lawyer when human rights were more under attack. And in this country, we have the fact that previous convictions are going to be revealed in court. That's a provision that's been rushed in without any training or thought to the judges as to how they're going to deal with the prejudice that's going to result. We've got a Home Secretary talking about judge-only trials, talking about civil orders for people he thinks are terrorists, talking about preemptive trials, removing the presumption of innocence and so on. And we have the continuing threat to jury trials. All these things that have been announced in the Queen's speech, ID cards is another one, are all things that are removing very hard-fought civil liberties in a way that's unprecedented in my lifetime. And yes, you have to set that against the fact that this government brought in the Human Rights Act. And the only way I can explain this really is that I know that when Turkey was most under attack from the EU for its human rights abuses, it appointed a human rights minister. And the thing is that having a human rights culture is not about window dressing, it's not about labels, it's about what you actually do. And I think the real fear now among human rights lawyers is that this government brought in a Human Rights Act as window dressing for one of the most unprecedented attacks on human rights that we've ever seen. And you know, we are locking people up indefinitely without trial in this country. Let's not forget that. The people in Belmarsh, many of whom Gareth represents, have been locked up indefinitely without trial in conditions which may not be as bad as Guantanamo Bay, but they certainly amount to inhuman and degrading treatment, and certainly people have suffered very severe mental health problems as a result. And we've got to hope that the House of Lords in January rules that that detention's unlawful. But we can also fear that if the House of Lords does make that ruling, it will be on the basis that the indefinite detention in Belmarsh is discriminatory against foreign nationals. So, you know, we've got a Home Secretary who may well then say, all right, it's discriminatory against foreign nationals, I'm going to make it apply to everyone, and I'm going to lock out British citizens indefinitely without trial as well. And we also had a very shocking ruling from the Court of Appeal saying that evidence obtained by torture abroad is admissible in the courts in this country, a ruling that no lawyer involved in human rights would ever have thought possible in this country. And the reason for that, of course, is that the secret evidence which is being produced against the people detained indefinitely who are in Belmarsh, it comes, so rumour has it, because of course we haven't seen it, it's secret, it's closed, but comes from confessions extracted from Guantanamo Bay detainees under torture. You know, this is a very, very serious situation. And it is being replicated all around the world. People are being detained at the behest of the US all around the world. There are said to be 7,000 Muslims detained without trial in Uzbekistan, for example. People are being sent by the US to other countries to be tortured. My client, Tariq de Gaulle, from whom you heard Corinne read out a message, I have taken a statement from him recently about an Australian detainee called Mamdou Habib, who's still in Guantanamo Bay, who was sent to Egypt to be tortured before being sent to Guantanamo. Then he was subjected to systemic sleep deprivation while in Guantanamo Bay and had become mentally ill before Tarek left Guantanamo. As a result of the appalling treatment to which he was subjected, he believes his family to be dead. They're not dead. Tarek has met his wife, but he believes them to be dead, and he is confused and is mentally ill in Guantanamo Bay. And the Australian government, of course, has done nothing for him. Now, the British government has said that Mozambique and Feroz Abbasi, who were designated for military commission trial, should not have to face it because it was didn't meet norms for an international fair trial. And earlier this year, I issued proceedings on behalf of Feroz Abbasi and Martin Mbanga against the British government in the British courts, seeking the court to order that the British government demand the return of the British detainees. And in response to those proceedings, the British government put in a solemn witness statement to the High Court saying that Tony Blair had made, and I quote, an unequivocal plea to George Bush to return them to this country. We waited with bated breath, this was June this year, for Tony Blair's unequivocal plea to bear fruit. And yet when Tony Blair was invited to be the first person to congratulate George Bush on being re-elected to meet him, he came back again and he talked about difficulties being caused by returning detainees. Well, there haven't been any difficulties caused by the returning detainees that Gareth and I, the British detainees that come back, because they were all completely innocent. And the only difficulties are for them because they are all severely traumatized as a result of the torture. So I have written to the Treasury solicitors, the government solicitors, demanding to know whether the British government's solemn witness statement to the British courts was not misleading, because how can you reconcile an unequivocal demand for the return of the British detainees with Tony Blair saying that he thinks there are difficulties? That is not reconcilable. I haven't had a reply yet. But this is consistent with the British government's failure, firstly, to bring people back at the outset when they were already aware that torture and abuse was occurring. And I have proof in relation to Tarek that they knew that he was being abused and tortured and did nothing about it. But then more recently, they are still failing to do anything for the people who are left behind there. What the US government's response to the Rasool judgment has been to set up things which are called, in an absolutely Kafkaesque phrase, competent status review tribunals, referred to by the American lawyers as CSRTs. These are different from the military commissions, which were going to give people a sort of trial. The competent status review tribunals don't even do that because you don't have a lawyer, there's no trial. You go before a military panel, a panel of military officers. You only have somebody called a personal representative. There's no evidence. Allegations are made to you, but no evidence is produced. And you're supposed to answer the allegations. That is what the US government says amounts to due process. Well, before these things happened, I faxed the Attorney General and Baroness Simons and said the British government has got to stop this process happening to British citizens. And the Attorney General simply replied saying he agreed that it wasn't any form of judicial process whatsoever, but they didn't do anything to stop the British people, and we should talk about British residents as well, and we should talk about everyone at Guantanamo Bay, but they did nothing to stop the British citizens being paraded in front of these competent status review tribunals. Now, there have been setbacks for the US government and the US courts. Michael talked about the case of Hamdan, who's alleged to be Osama bin Laden's chauffeur, where a district court judge in Colombia has ruled that the Geneva Conventions do apply, that the military commission trials can't go ahead because there's been no determination by a competent tribunal of the detainee's status under the Geneva Conventions, but that will undoubtedly be appealed. It'll go up to the Supreme Court. In fact, I think it's going to go straight up to the Supreme Court very quickly and be overruled. The reality is that unless there is more world pressure on the US government, then these people are going to stay in Guantanamo Bay indefinitely and will not be rescued. And our Prime Minister is in the position where he could have brought that pressure, and he's not doing it. And it's an outrage. And I think that, you know, the founding of this Peace and Progress Party is very, very important, because in this country we still have a sufficiently strong memory of how important civil liberties are, of how important human rights are. We still know enough about our rights that we all think we've got them. But if it just appears that other people's rights are being taken away, that's never the case. It's always going to be you that they come for next. And it really is up to ordinary people to start putting every pressure we can on all the political parties to start defending human rights and defending civil liberties before we lose them and it's too late. Thank you.
Just to pick up a couple of points that you mentioned there about the combatant status review tribunals, as of 2 weeks ago, 104 of these kangaroo tribunals had been held. The result in 103 of them was that the detainees were judged too dangerous to send home. And Moizan Beg, who we've already heard about, was due to come up for one of these. And roughly at the time that he was going to have one, Clive Stafford Smith, his lawyer, who would have been here today if he wasn't at Guantanamo, was finally, after 14 months, given security clearance to go and see him. And he was in an email told, the good news is you've got security clearance. The bad news is that 2 days before you arrive, your client's going to have a combatant status review tribunal. And Clive emailed back saying, well, actually, I'd quite like to see my client and see if I can represent him before he goes through this process. Well, this was first vetoed, but then for a couple of days, the tribunal itself was delayed. And at the same time, rumors started coming out of the Foreign Office that the reason why Mozambique's tribunal was being delayed was that at the press conference, which Tony Blair held in Washington with George Bush about 2 weeks ago, the release of the remaining four British detainees was going to be announced. Now, of course, that didn't happen. My surmise is that the Foreign Office and possibly Lord Goldsmith, the Attorney General, were trying to persuade the Americans to do this. But as ever, we're getting nothing in return for being Bush's poodles and so forth. So faced with potential political embarrassment, what was Blair's response? It was, as ever, the smear and spin. Blair was interviewed by Sky News's political editor the day after the press conference was Bush. And the question of Mozambique and the other detainees was raised. What was Blair's response? Not to say that he was disappointed that they had not been released, but to say, but those guys who have been released are already causing us problems. They're causing us some problems. We're having to keep them under 24-hour police surveillance. First, I very much doubt that that's true. The part about the surveillance. But to suggest that they were causing problems, people who had gone to Pakistan for a wedding, who had never committed any crime of any type whatsoever, is so monstrous. It is only this Prime Minister who, frankly, could utter such disgraceful words.